Welcome to episode 13 of Software Security Gurus with Matthias Madu. In this interview, he chats with Florence Motte, security expert and global CISO at Ahold Delhaize. They discuss her recent award win and how this could positively influence cybersecurity transparency at the company level, as well as her experience in security training software and how the approach has changed over the years. Finally, Matthias quizzes Flo on which four CISO tribes resonates with her way of working. If you'd like to leave your thoughts on this interview or ask our gurus a question, visit softwaresecuritygurus.com or leave us a voice message by visiting anchor.fm/softwaresecuritygurus.
Welcome to today's Software Security Gurus webcast. With me today, Florence Motte. Welcome, Flo.
Thank you.
Hey, Flo.
I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. Hey, Flo, do you mind saying a few words about yourself?
No, happy to. So on the professional side, I've been at Ahold Delhaize for the past 4 years. I first joined as the CISO for Europe and took on the global role a bit over a year ago.
Congrats.
I've been in information security my whole life. I mean, almost, 20 years. And I've always been on the consulting side of the fence before joining Ahold Delhaize in 2016. On the personal side, I'm French, the accent can't do anything about this accent. But I lived in the US for 9 years and I've been in the Netherlands for 15 now. And I have two gorgeous daughters, 15 and 10.
Absolutely. And we know each other for, I think, the last 10 years, if I'm not mistaken, running around in Europe, interviewing CISOs, and lo and behold, you're a CISO right now.
Exactly. And that's right. We've known each other for quite a long time now.
Absolutely. So today, if you don't mind, Flo, I would like to go through into a couple of topics that are hopefully near and dear to your heart. First of all, you received the Cybersecurity Annual Report Index Trophy. Congratulations for that. So it's the this year's highest appreciation for a listed company. So the award recognizes cybersecurity transparency and the way you deal with cybersecurity challenges. Do you mind sharing a few words about that and what's all that about?
Yeah, absolutely. First, I think it's a great accolade for the entire team because transparency is really what we strive for every day. And we strive for that from a lot of different angles, right? I mean, we want to be transparent with our customers. We want to be transparent with our associates. And we want to be transparent with our communities, which is, important. We're in the retail business, so we sell food. It's very important for us to be as transparent as possible.
Mm-hmm. And so it explicitly says, hey, it's for a listed company. And when I read that, I was asking myself, hey, is that a curse or a blessing? Because I couldn't get my head around that.
Yeah, and it's an interesting question, right? Because I think there are a couple of ways that you can think about it. The first is when you're publicly listed, you tend to be more in the line of sight of some groups. So some activists, for example.
Yep.
And it's especially true when you're a group of our size. I mean, we serve over 54 million customers in our 7,000 stores. We have 380,000 employees. And so, when in our strategy, it's something that is important and that we take into account. And I think there's another aspect as well. So when you're publicly listed, you also have to report to shareholders.
Yeah.
And so you have to have the support of the supervisory board, right?
Yep.
And I guess it can be a blessing or a curse. It can be a curse because in some companies there is there is little appetite to invest in information security. On our side, at Ahold Delhaize, I have to say that we have strong support from the executive committee, from the supervisory board. I mean, you mentioned the award, right? If you look at the post on LinkedIn, for example, you'll see that both the CEO of the group and I received the award together. Mm-hmm. And so that does show strong commitment. And we all have the same common objective, just to make the right decisions when it comes to information security for, again, our customers and our associates. So it does lead to fruitful conversations, and I would say that for us, it's a very good thing.
Okay, and on the transparency side, like they also said, hey, you know what, you're very transparent in what you're doing. Can you give an example of, I don't know, things that you publish or things that you push to the market or say about your security program?
Sure. I'll give you an example that has been quite visible to the rest of the world as well. Last year, we suffered some credential stuffing attacks.
Okay.
So it's interesting because usually I always have to give a definition, but I don't today. So there you go. We reacted extremely fast, technically, of course, but also with our customers. We had direct communication very quickly.
Yeah.
We also published a press release explaining exactly what had been going on and how we were, what measures we were taking. And so for us, it's a real example of how transparent we want to be as a company.
Yeah, and I think that's really the right approach, like being transparent about what happened, because there's always something that comes out later on if you try to hide something. That's absolutely the right approach.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what is the biggest challenge in so now you've achieved this award, like what's next is then my question, because you're already like top of the list now.
Well, there's always things that we can improve on, right?
Yep.
I mean, we're on a journey. So as much as we've achieved a lot of transparency, again, with our customers, as our associates, we can still do more. And we constantly strive to educate our colleagues within the company and make sure that they understand what we do, why we do it, and what they can do to support the organization.
Okay, education. Perfect segue into my second question.
Absolutely.
So ages ago, you actually led a team that built application security training. Today, you have bought into a training that is fun and engaging. And I was wondering, mm-hmm. you know, what has changed in your mind in the last years? And you have a long history with training developers, working with developers, making sure they write secure code. But on the training side, I would love to hear, you know, how you think about that.
Yeah. So first, it is ages ago. You're right. really feels like a few lifetimes ago. Look, when I think back, I think that we have new platforms. There's new technology. It really allows the gamification to be taken to the next level.
Yep.
And so for me, that's the main difference, right? I mean, it's more appealing for teams. It's easier to adopt. On the content side, what's interesting is that you see, of course, new bits and pieces that go with new platforms, new frameworks. But if I think of secure coding training 20 years ago and today, you still see a lot of the same foundational principles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good because it goes to show that, we still need to reinforce that. We still need to reinforce the basic the basic sets of rules that you need to follow.
Yeah, unfortunately we have, because there's constantly turnover, there's constantly new people joining the workforce, becoming engineers, and security is, you know, they have to learn it somewhere. What is success for you? If you think about a training program, what do you consider success?
So I think that if a program speaks to its intended audience, it becomes successful.
Okay.
And that's where you see that you don't have to make it a mandatory event for people to actually do the training.
Yep.
It's something that they want to do because they feel like they're learning and that they're actually contributing directly to their growth.
Yeah, I by the way, I totally agree. Like if I look at my kids, they like to learn on Duolingo and they hate languages, but they do it on Duolingo. And if they get the same content in school, it's not working for them.
It's not the same, right? You have to find the right way to teach, and everybody's different. I mean, you definitely have different learning groups in companies or even on the personal side of things.
You have to find something that works for the individual. On software security and training people, like the awareness piece, like how important is that for you and for the company?
So awareness for us and beyond software security, right? Mm-hmm. Just information security awareness is really front and center in our strategy. I mean, maybe one day we'll have the right technology that will prevent every attack and will protect all organizations and everybody personally, but we're certainly not there yet. Mm-hmm. And so the human risk is still, the biggest one.
Yep.
And we take that very, very seriously. We have an awareness program. It's called Living Data.
Okay.
It's something that we launched 4 years ago and that we refine every year. And it's very varied to the discussion we just had. It tries to really teach to all of the different types of learners. So we have computer-based training. We run a lot of phishing campaigns. We have targeted training, and not only for developers, as we just discussed, but other groups as well. So marketing, mergers and acquisitions, etc.
That's go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We also have a network of security ambassadors in the company. And we have a yearly event, which is actually coming up in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
All virtual, very exciting.
No, so I was going to say that is fantastic to hear, because I always think about security, the entire organization has to rally around it and it has to be everywhere. You cannot only point to the developers and say it's your mistake. So fantastic to hear that it embodies everybody in the organization. Maybe one quick more follow-up question on application security training, because you have so much experience from ages ago, back in the day, or when did you decide like, hey, now is a good time to train developers? Or back in the day when you were doing consulting, when did you think like, well, in this organization, now is the time to introduce training?
So if you think of it from the perspective of the information security department, I think that in order to have developer buy-in, mm-hmm. you have to have a trust, right? You have to you really have to have the trust of these groups,
yep.
so that they understand that whatever you're trying to propose and what you're trying to include is something that will be beneficial, and I've seen that numerous times in my past lives, but also I've experienced it here. We Information Security introduced the program, but it was actually chosen by a representative sample of developers across the company.
That's good.
And so we did benchmarks, we did tests, and when we had a solution, we actually helped introduce it. And that's what really made it successful.
Okay, thanks. Maybe a third topic, and given your previous answers, I may already predict what you're going to say, but still, so there's the CISO report, which divides CISOs in four tribes. And you're a CISO, so it's natural to ask this question, like, hey, there's a tribe called Security as Enabler, there's a Security as Technology, there's Security as Compliance, and there's Security as a Cost Center. Where are you on this in this CISO tribe? You're very familiar with the CISO report, so I really was wondering, like, where do you think you fit?
Well, if you look at the progress we've made in the past few years, we really went from a compliance-driven organization mm-hmm. to what we call internally the adaptive information security.
Yep.
And so it's been a great journey. And if you look at where we are today, we have the ear of the executive committee, of the supervisory board. I have a global team of which I'm extremely proud. They're very well-rounded, very much business-focused. And so not only are we embedded in all of the initiatives, whether they're IT or really business, but we also constantly try to make it easier
yep.
for our stakeholders to be secure. And so we leverage automation wherever we can. We embed security as much as possible in daily tasks. And we do that centrally for the entire organization. And so we're talking 19 brands across 10 countries. So So with that, I think it qualifies us as Tribe One, as a security, as an enabler.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. If I read and hear, if I read what has been written about your organization, and if I hear you talk about how you do things, I would say, yeah, definitely Tribe One or maybe Tribe Two, because I know you had a development background. So maybe you're a lot focused on technology, but I can see why you, and I assume you're very happy to be in Tribe One, that you landed Tribe One.
Yeah, absolutely. But for me, you know, there are always areas where we can improve. So we're not done, right? We're certainly not saying, okay, we're in Tribe One. Security as an enabler is what we want to be, because it is. Mm-hmm. But within that tribe, there are still things that we can do. And so we're on a journey. Yeah. We're continuing to support the growing needs of the organization and to manage the evolving threat landscape.
Yeah. It would be good for other people to figure out, like, hey, how you moved on from Tribe 3, really, from the compliance to Tribe 1, because there's a lot of people that want to make that move but struggle in doing that. So congratulations on getting that done.
Thanks.
So maybe last question, and I know, you know, we know each other for a long time, so I could ask you questions about cocktails or teenage girls or anything. But my last question is actually something that really interests me, but we never really chatted about that. And you alluded to that in the beginning. So you lived and traveled abroad extensively, and ultimately you settled in Amsterdam. And let's be honest, you know, you had to learn Dutch, which is not quite the most useful language on this planet. So why on earth did you choose Amsterdam? How did it come that of all these places that you visited and lived at, that you chose Amsterdam?
So I'll answer in two ways. I'll tell you why we came to Amsterdam, and then I'll tell you why we stayed in Amsterdam.
Sounds good.
So when I was in the US, I was working for Security Innovation, a software security company as well, consulting company. And in 2005, I was asked if I could come open the European branch of that company. We had a number of customers, and there was some appetite to have a branch here. And so we looked at three places, Brussels, Amsterdam, and Frankfurt, because we had customers in all of these. And they were fairly central. And we ended up on Amsterdam, really by pure luck, right? The CEO and I were talking. We were looking at taxis, I mean, everything, right? Yeah. And so we said, okay, well, let's try Amsterdam. And then in a couple of years, we can see how it goes. And so we landed here with my husband and my three-month-old daughter, without knowing the city or the country at all. And, you know, just luggages ready to move from mm-hmm. Florida. We thought, well, we'll see how it goes. And 15 years later, we're still here because it's such a great place to live in. The city is gorgeous. It's a capital city, really at human size. Mm-hmm. And the work-life balance is very nice. There's a lot of respect overall for personal lives and just having children, etc. So it's been amazing. Nice. Couldn't imagine living in a better place.
Do you speak Dutch, English, Spanish, or French to your kids?
So English and French, mostly French, but they do speak English natively. So you know, we have to adapt. I speak Dutch for entertainment purposes only. So I can't say that at work I speak Dutch, because I don't.
Yeah.
But you know, we're a global company, so that's okay.
Absolutely.
But yes, I understand it fairly well. It's quite practical.
Sounds good. Hey Flo, thank you very, very much for accepting to be the 13th guru in our series of software security gurus. It was a fantastic chat. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matthias. It was great to be here.
Software Security Gurus is sponsored by Secure Code Warrior, the secure coding company.